World Music Views is a media entity. It's a trade publication that documents what's happening in music, particularly reggae, dancehall music.
Hello. How's everything?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm so pleased to meet you, my brother.
Good to meet you too, my brother. Thank you for reaching out. Really appreciate it.
So welcome to World Music Views, where we talk music and music business. And you popped up on my radar because your latest platinum song, Gold, is Gold song with Kimani Marley, Celebration, was certified last week.
Yeah.
And that put me down a rabbit hole of Mafio, where I researched. I'm on the other side of Mafio, where I probably know more about your life than you know right now. You're like, no, that didn't go like that. So we're here to set the record straight, talk about your music, introduce you to my audience, which is people who are interested in the cross collaborations between Latin, Afrobeat, reggae, Spanish reggae music, and from a business level. So let's dive in. Tell me, where are you from? How did you come into the music business?
Well, I'm from Dominican Republic, so I'm Caribbean. You're in Jamaica, right?
Right now, yes.
Yeah, you're in Jamaica. That's why, you know. I think Kimani Marley always tells me that I'm Dominican. So it's, you know, is that flavor that from the Caribbean that we all have in common, you know, that sauce that you can't find nowhere in the world but Africa. And, you know, I come from Dominican Republic. I started making music when I was like 6 years old. And I became a professional when I was like 17 years old. And yes, you know, I've been creating music professionally, like for the past 17 years. And I'm just blessed. Blessings.
You said 17 years, but you don't look like you've been in the game for a long time. You look young. So how old were you? Like 12?
No, I'm 37. And I started when I was like 17, 18, like, you know, to start producing and stuff. And I've been doing it ever since. But like, I always put a lapse of like, my career really started in 2008. That's when my first hit record, I actually had my first hit record. And then from there, that's where I start my career.
So what song was that?
It's called Mi Alma Se Muere. Is Pitbull, Omega, and Fuego, and it was a huge worldwide hit. But I always put, you know, like my lapse of time starting in there. So 2008 to 2023. I'm really bad with math. How much is that?
It's a lot of years. So eight and eight is 10. So 2018 is 10, and we're 5 years in. So 15.
There you go. That's where I start.
Yeah. So that's cool. I saw the IFPI report yesterday. It said that Latin America, music from Latin America grew by 25%. And Latin America, they included Jamaica and the Caribbean as well. And immediately it sparked me that you would be part of that. Kimani would be part of that growth. I'm Damian Marley, because there's a lot of music being cross-collaborated in. Is that deliberate? Is that cross-culture deliberate? Because I know reggaeton came from reggae and dancehall, but there's a new Spanish reggae going on now, which is different from reggaeton.
Well, one thing I have to say is that, you know, Jamaica is the mother of all. You know, African Jamaica are the mother of all everything that we do right now when it comes to percussion. Yes, in the 1990s, you had records like Shaba Ranks, Dembow, and, you know, and with the Pounder, the Rhythm Pounder. that started, you know, since there was a huge concentration of Jamaicans in Panama, you know, in Panama, everything started, you know, branching out. And obviously, since Puerto Rico, they have they're born Americans. They're born with a blue passport, so they can travel easily to New York. And you know that in New York, there's a big concentration of Jamaicans. So they will come to New York and then they will go back to Puerto Rico and be like, hey, can I get a little bit more of them both? But, you know, they didn't understand that Dembo, you know, is actually a bad song, you know, is a homophobic song, you know, in history. So they started calling it Dembo, Dembo, at the rhythmic of the rhythmic pattern. And now in Dominican Republic, they call a whole genre Dembo. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You don't call that. You know, I'm very well. I can't hear you.
Your laptop is in your lap. So when you move it, it shakes. So if you can get it firm.
Oh, it's a laptop. So it's in my lap. let me see.
But stay in that position. You're in perfect light, though.
Yeah. So, well, it's going to move a little bit.
All right. Cool. We'll work with it.
I think the information is more important than the movement.
So, let's pick up back. You were saying they created a whole genre called Dembo.
Yeah, so, you know, you got to pay homage to Jamaica. You got to pay homage and respect to the people that really started this, you know? And the thing is that, you know, there's a whole war going on. Like, where was this created? Where was this created? And this was created, you know, and the people that actually created, they're like this. You know why? Because Jamaica has a very solid culture, music culture. So they don't need to prove who made it or who didn't made it, who created it first. Jamaica doesn't have to do that because they know they have it. That's the root. And that's a conversation that I was speaking with Buju. I was in Jamaica a couple of months ago, like 2-3 months ago. And I went to see Buju in Kingston. And we were talking about that. And I think the Latin culture needs to pay more homage to Jamaica and to the artists from Jamaica, since they're from, you know, the rhythm that we do right now, it comes from there.
That's a lovely point. I interviewed Cleavy from Steely and Cleavy 2 weeks ago, and he has an ongoing lawsuit.
Oh, so, I know about the lawsuit.
For a bunch of artists, which I was
producers and producers.
And producers. But that music that's made then is not even owned by the artists anymore because Louis Fonsi sold all his catalog.
Yeah.
To Harborview and a couple of them sold the catalog. What do you think caused that discrepancy where music was sampled, used, beats used, and not given the credit to the original producer? What do you think caused that? And what do you think of the lawsuit that's happening?
Well, I think is a lack of knowledge. Probably at that time, they probably legally didn't understand what were they doing. But the thing is that once you know that, like me personally, I don't sample. I don't get loops from anybody. I create my own thing. So, but they kept, since no one spoke about it, they kept on doing it over and over and over again. If I'm going to use a song, I'm going to make sure that I reach out to the originators, you know, and collaborate with them and show them respect that, you know, that they deserve. Because once you go in the studio and create, you created something that never existed. And now it exists. And you're making so much money, you know, of something that someone else created. And I don't think that's fair. You know, I don't think that's fair for anybody. And I think that goes for everything, for if you're selling mirrors, or and you created a design of a mirror, and then another person is, you know, use the same design and you're selling mirrors, like, you know, you don't do that. It's like, morally, you don't do that. So thank God I'm out of that lawsuit. I am not in that lawsuit. Thank God.
So as I tell you, I went deep on Mafia, right? And I saw that you were in Jamaica 6 weeks ago, hanging with Buju Banta. Well, at least he posted a picture 6 weeks ago, hanging with Buju. And that's when I really got curious, because I'm like, if you came to see the Gargamel on the Gargamel's home, I mean, you're thorough, because Buju's not an open person. You don't just get to sit with Buju Banta. if he doesn't like you, he's like, fuck that nigga. Like, he's very straight with that. So I really respected that. I really respected seeing you do that. And it speaks to something, which is a bigger question I have now. The success that you have had, and that's eminent with reggaeton and Spanish reggae. For example, when a Spanish song goes gold, it requires 30,000 units to be sold. But for an English, same dancehall song, if you sing it in Spanish, goes gold with 30,000. For it to go gold in English, it's got to sell 500,000.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a nice crack for the code for dancehall artists to come in and collaborate with more Spanish acts like it? And I'm loosely calling you Spanish, by the way. I know you're Dominican, but Latin artists and Central American artists, because you have a bunch of artists from everywhere who sings in Spanish.
Well, I make sure that I do my part. And with that being said, of me doing my part is paying homage to Jamaica. And that's why you have records like Blessings. One of my last records that came out a couple of months ago, Blessings, with Joe Mercer Marley, Kimani Marley, and Julian Marley, God rest his soul. Joe Mercer, one of my my best friends, my brother. And
condolences.
Yeah, Chillax, Farruko. I produced that song.
Produced Chillax?
Yes, I did.
It has 800 million views on YouTube.
Oh yeah, look at this. Wait, hold on. I'm gonna show you something. But that is there.
Wow. So this is your second certification with Kimani.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's dope, man. That Chillax is certified 6 times platinum by RIAA, and it has 800 million. It's, by the way, it's the highest view featuring a Marley on YouTube. The highest video.
That is crazy.
Even more than Bob.
Wow. That is crazy. But yeah. I produced that song. I also I met Kimani back in 2012, and we became best friends. And we became best friends. And then in 2014, I told Farruko, I was like, hey, listen, I would love for you to meet Kimani. And I told Kimani, I would love for you to meet Farruko, good people. And we did the record, and it became a huge world hit. I produced it.
Are you going to do an album together with more reggae acts? I see your debut album. Did you drop the debut album already? Or you have another album?
Yeah, my debut album came out in
2020.
No. Was it 2020? Because was it? Hold on. I'm confused. Let me see. Tumba Gobierno. Tumba Gobierno. This was... Wow. I can't believe you just schooled me on my own album. Yeah. So yeah, I released Tumba Gobierno in 2020. Kimani is there multiple times. And yeah, like I'm gonna keep on collaborating and me and Bujo, we're talking because when I do something with Bujo, it's gonna be so epic, it's gonna be so magical that is gonna shock the world, you know. So
that's gonna set a whole nother pace because yes. Bujo, you're 37, I'm 38, so you knew Bujo, like Bujo was the thing. He's a standard of there's Bob and there's Bujo.
Yeah.
It's like reggae, you know what I mean? So I love that. You as a producer, how important is it for you to own your music for artists that are coming into the game right now?
Well, absolutely. It's really important to own your music. Also, there's businesses that, you know, that it all depends on what kind of what state of mind you are. If you're desperate and you need a loan from the label, you know, you're going to have to pay that back, but then the label owns it. Well, you know, that you're in that, and if you're in that state of mind, then go ahead, do it. If you want to own your music and take the walking route instead of the elevator, then do it. But it's always amazing to own your music, you know. What changes is your mentality and what kind of mindset you are. So if you want to do whatever, if you want to sell your catalog, go ahead, do it. You know, one day I'm gonna sell my catalog because
my next question.
Yeah, one day I'm gonna sell my catalog and I'm just gonna be like a clean slate, boom, a new book. Let me create a new book of music. So I'm really open to that. You know, who knows? It might happen soon. It might not happen soon. It all depends on my mindset, on where my mindset is at.
When you're making music, right, as a producer, do you know it's going to hit? Do you feel like, this is going to slap so hard in the Spanish clubs? This is going to slap so hard in the Jamaican clubs? Like, how do you go into that zone to know where the market is?
You never know. That's the thing about music. You never know because sometimes you're feeling a certain type of way and you're in a different vibration than probably this person. And so that person doesn't connect with your vibration, even though your vibration is killer. But then when you connect like with the vibration of everybody at the same time, that's when it's like, oh, wow, I didn't see this coming, you know? So music is very, you know, what I do is like, I go to the studio and I just try to have fun. I have fun. I feel the music. If I like it, if I'm happy, that's all that matters. If I'm not happy, trust me, it's going to be hell. Like, you know. So I make sure that I'm happy first. If the whole world wants to be happy with me, then come in, you know, in my happiness.
So are you seeing me?
Yeah.
So you got your name from watching gangster movies, right?
Yeah.
Mafia movies. How would you describe your music and the influence from those cinema? And I'm assuming it's Godfather. And all those Francis Ford Coppola joints, Scarface, which are very cinematic, right?
Yeah.
They take you in, you get immersed in it. And I share the same with you. Nobody called me Mafio, but I share the same affinity for those gangster flicks with you. How does that inform your music making? Are you going to get people as immersed as those films did?
Nah, I don't go off of my name. Like, I don't make music off of my name. My name, to tell you the truth, I didn't like my name at first when my dad started calling me Mafio because I used to watch other documentaries. I didn't like my name at first. But then I got a hit record and it started like, this kind of sounds better. I kind of like it. I kind of like it. Then I got another hit. So I like my name, but I don't follow. I don't create music according to what my name is or anything. What I do respect, you know, about that world is that they have a lot of integrity and a lot of, obviously the bad stuff is not cool. You know, the illegal stuff is not cool, but you know, once you work as a family, as a team, and be loyal, I think loyalty for me is a big thing.
If you could work with some new artists in any genre, who would you pick?
Right now, I'm actually working with Ioctin.
Ioctin, wow.
From Jamaica. That guy is so incredible. Like, I went in the studio. He couldn't believe that I made a beat in, like, the instrumental in 20 minutes. And I couldn't believe he already had a hit, a song, like, right after I was done with the instrumental. So the chemistry was incredible. He has a really, really bright future. And I think Jamaica has, like, there's a really good vibe going on in Jamaica when it comes to the Afro, you know, and for the Afro beat. What I really want to hear more dancehall, because dancehall has changed a little bit. And so now the Afro beat is dancehall. So, but I want to hear that more. I want to hear that.
They call that the kick up, boom, bop. Boof, boff.
You know, I want to hear that more. So, but everything that's happening right now in Jamaica is incredible. I was there and I loved it. Like, there's a Batman that they use the instrumental for from Busta Rhymes. Batman, la, 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 la,
la, la, la. Yeah, I know the song you're talking.
You know what I'm talking about? So yeah. I really like how they did that.
It's actually Ice Spice who brought back that Busta Rhymes beat. So there's like a song on that rhythm.
That's crazy. And then I saw they did the Shaka demos. I think it was Murder, She Wrote, like just the kick, boom, boom. Yeah. And then they came back with the Busta Rhymes beat.
When you come to Jamaica, do you record here? Like, have you ever been to G-Jam or any of those places?
I haven't. I haven't recorded in Jamaica yet. I needed to go, I think it was last month. No, it was this month with Kimani, because Kimani is recording in Negril. He was recording in Negril, and he invited me because he's going to start doing his album, but I was out of town. So, but for the next time, I'll reach out to him. And it's always such a great vibe working with Kimani. And
how many records have you sold overall?
Oh my gosh.
Certified. How many plaques in your basement?
Oh, a lot. Like, I have them like on the wall because like there's no more space on. I either got to get a new house or I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Well,
that's a good problem to have, my brother.
it is. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I never want to find myself in a situation where I'm whining about, you know, the so much work that I have. I'm always like, every time I get up, I breathe, and is a blessing. As far as your question, that's a tough question. I don't know.
10 million, 20 million records. How many? Just give me a random.
I think more than that.
More than 10 million records.
yeah, more.
That's dope. At 37, that's dope. That's really dope. That's really dope. So you found a formula that works. Dancehall, as you just mentioned, it has a selling problem, right? I think dancehall needs someone like you, meaning you found a formula. Celebration is a feel-good song. I listened to it like a couple of times. And even the Spanish parts that I don't fully get what he's saying, it's like a vibe, you know what I mean? So you found a formula.
You know what that song is about, right?
Your sister. I'm getting to it.
Yeah.
I'm getting to it. So you found a formula, but you also found soul, right? So you have meaning and message and melody. Meaning, message, melody. Tell me about your sister and tell me about that formula for celebration.
It's crazy. My sister passed away in 2004. She was my big sister. She was 23 and I was 17. And fast forward, I become this, big time producer, how everybody calls it. And then I go in the studio to work with Farruko and Akon, you know, and I did the record. I produced their song. They recorded their part. And then a couple of months passed, and I call Farruko. I'm like, Farruko, what are we doing with this song, you know? And he was like, what do you mean, what are we doing with this song? I'm like, yeah, I did this song for you. And he was like, no, that's your song. I'm like, what? What do you mean? I did that song for you, and that was for you, you and Akon. And I'm like, all right, cool. All right, we hang up. I play the song, close my eyes. And it was like my sister talking to me. All the words. Because it's a celebration for my life. Like, close your eyes for me. Don't shed no tear, you know? Oh, there's Marley. My daughter's name is Marley. Come say hi.
Wow. You have such a beautiful story, my bro.
Say hi.
Hi, Marley. You're so beautiful.
All right. You going to the pool? Oh, you went? Okay, cool. All right. So it was basically my sister telling me, like, cause I lived like a really foggy years, you know, where I would be sad and I would cry by myself, like missing her. And the song is actually speaking to me, like it's speaking to me, and I'm like, wow. And I directed the video too. Then I got Kimani on it. I got Kimani. I'm like, Kim, like, you know, check this out. Let me know what you think. And he recorded. We shot the video. And the song started growing. No promotion. No promo. I don't, you know, I'm not one of these people that start, like, you know, investing so much money on the song. I like to keep it organic. So then all of a sudden, people start hitting me in DMs and direct messages and telling me, hey, Mafia, this song is so incredible. I'm here with my dad in the hospital. He has cancer. And this is the song that makes him happy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Then you had DMs from other people telling me, Mafia, you have no idea. My mother just died. This is the song that actually makes me, you know, like kind of like Cushing, you know, it makes me happy. And I'm like, wow. You see, that's the definition of a hit record. When you touch people's heart, you know, I think a lot of people, they get involved too much in the numbers and this and that. And, you know, when they ask me, like, you know, what's a hit record for you? Like, you know, a hit record is not the numbers, it's how you touch people. Yeah, the numbers are fine, they're cool. But the message, you know, and the conscience of what the message is, that's even bigger than numbers.
That resonated with me right away. Because I do numbers, right? but I also know music. So when I saw the song on RIA, which they release it every Friday, right?
Yeah.
I saw the song and I was reporting on the song. And then I said, let me just listen to it to hear the sound. And I ended up listening to it like four times. It immediately communicated what you just said with me.
Yeah.
And that's a real blessing. And then towards the end, when I saw you, I don't know, that's your directorial genius. With your mom? That was your mom?
My mom. That was my mother. Yeah.
That's like the sealer of the video, like, because that makes it real, you know?
Yeah. I was in my director mode, and there was a scene, and me and my mom grabbed my hand, and I grabbed her hand, and me and her, we just looked, and we just started crying. And
yeah,
that was like the chapter closed, you know, with my sister. Now, you know, I miss her, but she wants me to be happy, you know?
Yeah. It's like a universal truth, right? Like Bob Marley's Bob Marley because he was one love and he sent out a universal truth. Celebration is a universal truth.
Yes.
Because no matter where you're from in the world, you're going to have a party, you're going to have a wedding, you're going to have something to overcome and celebrate with. So that was really dope.
Thank you.
My last question to you is, in terms of global music, how do you plan to grow as an artist and to take on with Afrobeat taking over or coming in? Of course, Latin music is taking shape. K-pop is also taking shape. Are you just in your niche? Are you just going to kill that niche? Are you
absolutely not. You know, and that's my career has been based on the diversity of what I can do with music, because my first hit record, it was a merengue. You know, I have hit records that are reggae, like, for example, Bajito from Giancarlos and Kimani Marley. You know, if you look at that song has, I think, it has, I'm going to tell you right now, on YouTube, it has 66 million views, and it's a reggae that I produced. Bajito. I can't hear you.
Yeah, Bajito. Yeah, I see it.
Yeah, so that record is a reggae. Then you have Chillax, is a reggae with reggaeton.
Did you also produce Yayo?
No, I didn't.
Yayo featuring Pitbull?
No, I didn't produce that one. But
I had no idea Kimani was killing the game so much in the Spanish world.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Kimani is and I work with you know, Juju, like he's amazing too. Juju, I've worked with Juju. I haven't worked with Steven yet. Or with Damien. I would love to work with them. You know, they're like the generals, like, you know.
I think when you do, it's gonna be something special. Damien,
I think so.
Damien is he's a beast. He's just a creative guy on all levels. So that's let's just wrap up. Give me your top five all time favorite artists. I know this is very hard, but it's five.
It's not hard at all.
Okay, run it.
Bob Marley. My daughter's name is Marley. Michael Jackson. Elvis Presley. The Bee Gees and Juan Luis Guerras.
Wow, that's a nice taste.
Yeah,
that's why you've been finding hit records, Brezhin. Thank you so much, boss. Thank you so much. I'm coming to Miami soon. We should link up, boss. I love what you're doing.
I'll invite you to the studio one day.
Yeah, I'd love to do a whole feature on your behind the scenes, and you know, could listen to some music and all of that, man. And when you have new music out, shoot it to me.
We're gonna
pass it. World Music Views. We're global. This is what we do. Just feature the top acts of the world of music.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Keep doing your thing. Big up Marley. All right. All righty.
For more music news, log on to worldmusicviews.com and follow me at JR Watkiss on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I'm JR. Pleasant viewing!